Amy, thanks for being here with us today.
Hey, thank you for inviting me again. I appreciate the opportunity to get the word out from the State House.
I want to talk a little bit about what's being done in the Senate right now. The first thing I want to say, and you know it's always kind of news when the first bill passes both chambers, and we'll be getting to the governor's desk too. It sounds like that's what's happening with this new tax bill that's going to couple the state tax with the federal tax. Can you just kind of briefly explain what that means?
Sure. Every year, the state has to deal with coupling of our tax laws with the federal tax laws that were passed during the previous session, just so that all of those, say, credits or changes to tax law at the federal level can also happen at the state level. So we actually have to pass that coupling law every year. That has been passed out independently out of the House, and I believe out of the Senate, and I believe out of the House as well, so that it can go to the governor's office. That allows for certain tax credits. You know, let's take education, for example. There's a $250 credit for supplies that teachers purchase for their classrooms each year. This allows that to continue to happen.
All right, so just something that happens whenever the federal government does what they do.
Right, and it's important that Iowa follow through with that so that our citizens can be on the same page as the citizens of other states and just make sure that they have available to them the changes to tax law that were made at the federal level.
And it probably makes it simpler for people as well.
Absolutely. Makes it simpler for accountants as well, let me tell you. They don't have to deal with separate state and federal laws.
All right, moving on. You mentioned that you have a bill that you're introducing into the Senate, a local government bill. Talk a little bit about that and what do you think its prospects are?
As you know, I feel very strongly that local government is the best government. It's the closest and most responsive to the people. I've said that for decades, and I've said it to everyone for the last year and a half, anyone who would listen about that. And so I've introduced a bill that has a companion bill in the House that deals with the disposition of seized weapons locally. Currently, any time, say there's a drug bust and there's a gun or ammunition that happens in that drug bust and your local law enforcement seizes it, currently it has to go to the State Department of Public Safety to be disposed of or used for training or in law enforcement. This bill would allow the local seizing agency the opportunity to use it locally, whether it was for training or whether it was for their police officers locally, the sheriff's deputies, or to sell it and use that money for local purposes. So it's a matter of local control. It is also in the House. It is in the Senate. It's been assigned a subcommittee, and hopefully we can see that move forward so that we increase local control and some just empower the local elected officials who are more responsible to us.
I know that you're also on the Education Committee, and that's probably been a lot of work going on. I know the House had some hearings last week where they've asked some questions. They've done some work. I know you said that, too. You might expect some education legislation to be passed out of there to the Senate soon. How is that all looking? What is the real prognosis of this all right now?
The governor sent to the legislature his proposal for education reform, and it had five key components. And those range from college and career readiness for students to evaluation of teachers to a teacher improvement career ladder. That is currently being debated in the House, and it is out of subcommittee to full committee, and they are expecting to pass some education reform out of the House, I believe, within the next 10 days or 10 or 15 days. On the Senate side, those things are also happening. We are having committee hearings dealing with the issues of education reform, whether it's from the AEAs or local school districts. We're listening to that information too. Prognosis, I can't say. There are good things that are in the education bill that we really do need to look at. We have great teachers, great districts. I would like to see them be the best, and if there are things that we can do as a legislative body to make that happen, I want to make them happen.
Talk a little bit, and I know it's early on in your first term, but the difficulties and challenges of working with chambers that are controlled by separate parties. You know, we see it right now in Congress, and it's all about gridlock. What kind of things happen locally? Do you think it's better or worse since it's more at the state level?
You know what? Most of the work that gets done in the Senate and in the House, most of that work is non-controversial. We talked about that the changes to the tax law that passed totally bipartisanly. I think everyone voted yes because it needed to happen. And so far, I would say 75 or 80% of the work that's been done has been totally bipartisan. You hear a lot about the gridlock because that makes news. Mm-hmm. Most of the work that's happening happens for the good of Iowans, and I'm glad to see that. there are other things that are gridlock. We talk about education reform. I didn't give you a prognosis because I don't know. Because there are different viewpoints on how best to go about that. And often those viewpoints are either urban-rural split or party split. And so it does make for some gridlock. I do believe that hearing from both sides, from all sides, makes for better legislation. So I'm not opposed to the fact that we do have a divided government.
You've been doing some town hall meetings. This upcoming Friday, you'll actually be in Knoxville as well. Talk about what you've been hearing so far from the constituents.
Most of what's been talked about from constituents, truly is at this point just constituents wanting to know what's going on. They want to hear what's going on at the State House, what we look at as priorities. We talk a lot about education reform because that gets headlines. That's what's being talked about statewide, and so that's what people are also asking about locally. There are issues of, honestly, I've gotten a lot of concerns about maintaining Second Amendment rights, which considering what's happened in recent history around our nation, that's important. That's an important conversation. Mental health has been tied to that, and that's also an important conversation that's happened at these forums, and I look forward to conversations with folks about each of those.
And so this upcoming Friday, I believe you'll be at the Knoxville Chamber of Commerce, 4 p.m.?
We will be at the Knoxville Chamber of Commerce at 4 p.m. I believe Representative Hartzell will be there also. Yeah. I haven't spoken with him. Funny how you don't see the other house. You would think we would since we're 100 steps away, but I don't see Representative Hartzell as much as I should. Be here at 4 o'clock next Friday, and look forward to really just having a lively dialogue on other issues that anyone has to bring up.
Well, thanks, Amy. Anything else you'd like to add?
Sure. I will just say that the Mayor's Youth Council from here in Knoxville will be coming to join me at the Capitol this week. I look forward to visiting with them. And I know that we're going to be working hard. There's a property owner's assessment appeal board. It's called the PAB board that we will be looking at addressing to make sure that doesn't sunset. It was tagged to sunset this year, and we would like to continue that because it's a protection for property owners in making sure that they do have an accurate assessment of their property values for taxation purposes. And so those are some items that I just wanted to share with people that we are working towards. And just thank everybody for calls, emails, and encouragement and questions. So keep them coming.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Senator Sinclair.
Thank you so much for your time today, Aaron.